This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, welcome back. Hour number four, Talk Radio 1210 WPHD, the Zioli Show on Twitter at Rich Zioli and 855-839-1210. Listen, I got to tell you, the news about the stupidity of Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson is not nearly getting out there the way it needs to. But right here in this hour, we have exclusive audio for you from oral arguments from the Supreme Court case that everybody should be talking about, where Justice Brown Jackson makes an argument that is so incredibly absurd, I almost fell out of my chair. Now, I have to tell you right away, although I'm not an attorney, I do play one on TV, and I used to love listening to, may it please the court, the Supreme Court oral arguments for some of the most landmark cases. And one thing I thought everybody understood, I mean everybody, whether you're Supreme Court justice or not, was that the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution was meant to ensure that everybody is treated the same way under the law, regardless of the color of their skin. Meaning that whether you're black or you're white or you're some other color, you're treated the same. The rights afforded to each and every one of us under the Constitution flow through the 14th Amendment, and the law is interpreted that way ever since on all kinds of different things, even things that had nothing to do with race at the time of the passage of the 14th Amendment. Good example of that would be the Supreme Court case legalizing gay marriage, utilizing the 14th Amendment in their arguments. But Justice Jackson apparently has no understanding of the concept of the 14th Amendment. So a little history. Obviously, we had this dust-up called the Civil War. Then we had Reconstruction. They had these Reconstruction amendments to bring the southern states back into the Union. Abraham Lincoln insisted that they go along with the 13th and the 14th Amendments. The 13th Amendment, of course, ending slavery. The 14th Amendment of the Constitution, which would establish the vehicle by which the Bill of Rights would transcend any states that tried to put blocks in their way. And that's why the Bill of Rights now extend to the states, each and every state. No state can block the Third Amendment any more than it can block the Fourth Amendment or the First Amendment or the Second Amendment. And this was done specifically because they had something after the Civil War and before it, of course, with slavery, called the Black Codes, which were laws designed, much like the precursor to Jim Crow laws, designed to keep black people separate from white people. And there, of course, would also be a famous Supreme Court case called Plessy, which I'll get into that in a moment, too. But before I get ahead of myself here, we have some oral arguments from the case. It is Merrill v. Milligan and Merrill v. Castor. Now, this case has to do with drawing congressional maps using race as a criteria. OK, and basically, if you use Justice Jackson's argument, it is perfectly reasonable to use race as the criteria to draw congressional districts. And so then the residents of those districts are going to be basically segregated. And then this is a pro-segregation argument that she's giving here. So let me begin with this now. Should I start with this is the Solicitor General of Alabama. His name is Edmund G. Lesore, explaining how Alabama's redistricting law was made in a race-neutral manner in accordance with the 14th Amendment, where it's supposed to be race-neutral. Everybody's treated the same under the law. Take a listen.
Alabama conducted its 2021 redistricting in a lawful, race-neutral manner. The state largely retained its existing districts and made changes needed to equalize population. But that wasn't good enough for the plaintiffs. They argued that Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act requires Alabama to replace its map with a racially gerrymandered plan, maximizing the number of majority-minority districts. But Section 2 requires an electoral process equally open to all, not one that guarantees maximum political success for some over others. Section 2 does not and cannot obligate Alabama to abandon district lines enveloping the undisputed, long-standing community of interest in the Gulf to be replaced by district lines dividing black and white with such racial precision that Alabama could never have constitutionally drawn those lines in the first place. Yet that is what Alabama has been commanded to do here, redraw its districts to subordinate traditional districting principles to race. The only way to add a second majority-minority district to Alabama's plan is to make race the non-negotiable criterion. Plaintiffs' illustrative plans prove the point. They offer only one way to get that second majority black district. Split Mobile County and divide the Gulf by race. Their new versions of districts 1 and 2 then stretch the width of the state to group together black voters from disparate areas as far west as Mobile and as far east as the Georgia border. The district court relied on these outlier plans to invalidate the state's neutrally drawn map, and that was legal error. Requiring states to scrap neutral plans in favor of plans drawn on account of race sets Section 2 at war with itself and with the Constitution. The court should make clear that if a state's plan is the product of the state's neutral districting principles, the plan is equally open to all voters. Because Alabama's 2021 plan is such a plan, plaintiffs' claims fail.
Now, exactly right. This is at war with the Constitution. Of course it is. Imagine it like this, basically. Imagine if the goal of the state legislature was to draw maps that ensured that whites would have the majority. Do you think anybody would think that was okay? Who would think that was okay? But essentially now, what Justice Jackson is arguing here is that it's perfectly fine to do that if society has some goal, which is to advance another race. So in this case now, of course, she's talking about African-Americans, black voters. So because society in her mind has this idea now that they want to advance them, then you can throw out race neutrality. You can just throw out the concept that the 14th Amendment literally prohibits the state from making laws that will, in fact, harm one racial group for preference of another racial group. I mean, the reason why, of course, we have this is very, very simple to understand. Whites, back at the time of the passage of the 14th Amendment, were making laws that benefited one particular racial group, whites. And so in order to make sure that that would stop happening and laws would be applied equally, we have the 14th Amendment, obviously. But apparently now Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson and her faux originalism, as Carrie Severino put it, which I'll get into that piece in just a moment, well, she completely destroys that argument. Take a listen.
And what I guess I'm a little confused about in light of that argument is why, given our normal assessment of the Constitution, why is it that you think that there's a 14th Amendment problem? And let me just clarify what I mean by that. I don't think we can assume that just because race is taken into account, that that necessarily creates an equal protection problem, because I understood that we looked at the history and traditions of the Constitution, at what the framers and the founders thought about. And when I drilled down to that level of analysis, it became clear to me that the framers themselves adopted the Equal Protection Clause, the 14th Amendment, the 15th Amendment, in a race-conscious way, that they were, in fact, trying to ensure that people who had been discriminated against, the freedmen, during the Reconstruction period, were actually brought equal to everyone else in the society. So I looked at the report that was submitted by the Joint Committee on Reconstruction, which drafted the 14th Amendment. And that report says that the entire point of the amendment was to secure rights of the freed former slaves. The legislator who introduced that amendment said that, quote, unless the Constitution should restrain them, those states will all, I fear, keep up this discrimination and crush to death the hated freedmen. That's not a race-neutral or race-blind idea in terms of the remedy. And even more than that, I don't think that the historical record establishes that the founders believed that race neutrality or race blindness was required.
What? That's insane. Of course you have to make sure that you are treating everybody fairly according to race. And then Therefore, race blindness or race neutrality is 100% required under the law. Because if it's not, then black people are never to enjoy equality under the law. And that's why we have a 14th Amendment. By the way, she was quoting Representative Thaddeus Stevens, who is artfully played in the movie Lincoln by Tommy Lee Jones. Does a fantastic job. Man had fantastic hair. It was a rug, but nevertheless, it was one of the most beautiful rugs in the history of politics. But I digress. If I ever lose my hair, I'm going to rock a Thaddeus Stevens wig. I 100% will. DeSantis is laughing, but I can pull off a toupee, all right? How do you know I'm not wearing one now? I'm not going to let you pull my hair. What do you think, I'm crazy? Listen, I've been on Rogaine since I was 4. I'm not taking any chances. I lose my hair and it's over. I'm back to morning drive, you know what I mean? Sorry. But the truth of the matter is that the historical details do not support Jackson's takeaways and what she's talking about with Thaddeus Stevens here. The record is clear. Congress was working to remedy flagrant racial discrimination under the law, particularly the discrimination of the black codes in the former Confederate states, which aimed to relegate those who had been emancipated, freed, to a status that closely resembled slavery. So the remedy to that was the Civil Rights Act of 1866, for which the 14th Amendment was meant to provide a firm constitutional foundation so the law would not be struck down in court. The 1866 statute recited a litany of civil rights, many of them contract and property rights guaranteed to all citizens of every race and color in the same measure as they were enjoyed by white citizens. In other words, it was going to be race neutral or race blind. You get the same rights as I do, whether you're black or you're white. We all get the same rights. That is literally the very definition of race neutral and race blind. We're going to treat you like we can't see the color of your skin, and we're going to give you the rights you are afforded under the United States Constitution vis-a-vis the 14th Amendment. Now, Jackson cited this law and Thaddeus Stevens' comments without acknowledging that it was actually meant to eliminate racial distinctions. That's exactly why it was there. It was aimed to remedy the condition of people who had been enslaved. And also then those people who were then denied basic things like food, shelter, clothing, medical services, education. And then, of course, we would all remember Plessy, too. Plessy v. Ferguson, which is a very, very famous case, the United States Supreme Court, which essentially now granted this notion of separate but equal as constitutional, which thank God would be overturned. But before I get to that, let me give you the retort by the Alabama Solicitor General to Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson's ridiculous argument. Take a listen.
So with that as the framing in the background, I'm trying to understand your position that Section 2, which by its plain text is doing that same thing, is saying you need to identify people in this community who have less opportunity and less ability to participate and ensure that that's remedied, right? It's a race conscious effort, as you have indicated. I'm trying to understand why that violates the 14th Amendment, given the history and background of the 14th Amendment.
The 14th Amendment is a prohibition on discriminatory state action. It is not an obligation to engage in affirmative discrimination in favor of some groups.
Now, it's also important to note that years later, we would come back to something that Thaddeus Stevens said. By the way, he's from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. He was a PA guy and one of the leaders of the abolitionist movement. In fact, I would argue probably the leader of the abolitionist movement. But he would argue that whenever anyone undertakes to make a distinction between the black race and our own, meaning the white race, because of the color of his skin or the formation of the body, he forgets his God and his God will forget him. So then decades later, the test before the United States Constitution, before the Supreme Court, is the Constitution colorblind? Justice John Marshall Harlan, his famous dissent protesting the court's validation of state-imposed racial segregation in Plessy. Plessy v. Ferguson. You know, whenever I hear people talk about, well, there's precedent, and the Supreme Court can't overturn law because there's precedent and super precedent. I always think about two particular cases, well, several in particular, but Dred Scott, where they ruled that slaves were property, essentially human beings were property. Plessy v. Ferguson, where they said separate but equal is constitutional. I also think about the time where they had Korematsu v. United States, when they basically said that Roosevelt's order to imprison Japanese, German, and Italian Americans based on the color of their skin without any due process whatsoever was constitutional. I think of those three particular cases, and of course Roe v. Wade, which of course, thank God, has been overturned. But anyway, those cases have been overturned because they were terrible cases, and just because something's been decided does not mean it can't be overturned if it was a terrible decision. But in that dissent, a beautiful dissent by John Marshall Harlan, he protested the court's decision in Plessy, and he even said, you need to have respect for a law's original meaning. So what was the original meaning of the 14th Amendment that was crafted by the legislature, of course? The intent of the legislature is to be respected, in contrast to a majority that lacked such respect. So now we have a justice on the United States Supreme Court who wants to throw all of that out and say, no, it's perfectly fine to treat people different based on the color of their skin, so long as we like the outcome, so long as we think that's a favorable outcome. But that's exactly what the segregationists argued, and their arguments lost because of the 14th Amendment, which said you have to treat people equal based on the color of their skin, regardless of the color of their skin, because it is race neutral and race blind. Duh. I feel like I'm explaining this to my kindergarten kid. She would have a better understanding of this. By the way, little side note, I've been on Propecia since I was 19 years old because I'm not going to risk my hair. But Thaddeus Stevens' wig, actually, they did a preservation contest in Pennsylvania. True story. DeSantis is cracking up. This is a true story. If I ever do lose my hair, hopefully my wig will go for as much money. But they did a crowdfunding to try to protect his wig so they didn't have to lose it. I mean, the thing looks like roadkill. You see Thaddeus Stevens' wig now. It really does. It looks like somebody ran it over and then ran it over again and backed it up. But in 24 hours, a Lancaster County Community Foundation had a fundraiser and they raised $1.6 million to preserve Thaddeus Stevens' wig. Now, I can tell you one thing. I am not hair blind. That thing was a bad rug. I'm just telling you right now, a bad rug. But Thaddeus Stevens' argument is solid. The 14th Amendment is solid. And Justice Brown Jackson is a joke. She has no business being on the United States Supreme Court. If she thinks you can actually use the 14th Amendment to promulgate segregation and intolerance and indifference and government-based policies that favor the outcome for one racial group over another. Listen, Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, my great friends. I talked to my buddy Judith Krupnik earlier today. In fact, I'm going to see her in a little bit when I go to the Union League to give my speech tonight. Judith is fantastic. She's a great friend of mine, and I am so grateful for all the great work they do at Cherry Hill Volvo. Are you a Costco member? Because if you are, you're going to get an additional $1,250 off the price of a brand new Volvo at Cherry Hill Volvo. That's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I love the treatment you're going to get there, too, because Judith prides herself on creating lifelong relationships. That's why Cherry Hill Volvo has been so incredibly successful and why we broadcast live every day from the Cherry Hill Volvo studios. And I love driving my Volvo. They're safe, they're fast, incredible technology, and luxurious. And that's why you deserve a luxurious experience, which you will find on Route 70 in Cherry Hill with my friends Judith and Yosef and the entire team at Cherry Hill Volvo. Take an additional $1,250 off every new Volvo on top of their amazing offers. When you go visit them today, they are the Philadelphia area's most accessible Volvo dealership. Go see them. What are you waiting for? You're never going to get any pressure. If the car is not right for you, the car is not right for you. But I think you're going to love it, especially if you're a Costco member, with that additional $1,250 savings. Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, where relationships matter.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
And we are back. Yes. So following up on that nonsense with Ketanji Brown Jackson, Rachel Maddow, who, by the way, was seen in public with Chris Hayes, and I never thought that was possible, so that may be a sign of the apocalypse. But anyway, Rachel Maddow warns that the Supreme Court has become so disrespected, Americans may soon not follow its rulings at all. And she justifies the idea of Ketanji Brown Jackson's arguments by, saying, listen, Alabama wants only one majority congressional black district. What's the big deal? What's the big whoop with that? So let's start with there, shall we? Let's start with Cut 18. Rachel Maddow on Justice Jackson's arguments.
We're also today starting a new Supreme Court session with a court that has never had a lower level of respect from the American people in the entire time that pollsters have been asking the American people about their level of respect for the court. With the new conservative supermajority on the Supreme Court, they are reaching way out this term, way, way out of their way to take cases that are expected to serve as a vehicle for them to let state legislatures change election results, to get rid of affirmative action programs in education, to get rid of anti-discrimination civil rights laws that protect gay people, and to once and for all get rid of the crown jewel achievement of the United States civil rights movement, which, of course, is the Voting Rights Act. Conservatives on the court already took away the heart of the Voting Rights Act in 2013. Now, with the case they're going to hear tomorrow, they could pave the way to hollow out all the rest of it, too. That case they're going to hear tomorrow is a case out of Alabama. Alabama has a population that's more than a quarter African American. But the Republicans who control the Alabama state legislature want only one of the state's congressional districts to have a majority black electorate.
Let me ask you a question. If white people said they wanted every district to have a majority of whites only and justify that by saying the 14th Amendment is race blind or race neutral, would Rachel Maddow be OK with that? If we start using race to justify outcomes, but she doesn't like the race that's being used or the outcome that's going to happen, would Rachel Maddow be OK with it? And by the way, who cares whether the Supreme Court of the United States is popular or not? This isn't high school. We're not dating the U.S. Supreme Court. They don't get to hang out with the cool courts. It doesn't matter if they're popular. Just do the job by interpreting law according to the Constitution. That's it. That's their job. Whether or not they're the coolest kid at the party or they walk into the party and it's like, yo, SCOTUS, what's up? You're at my party. party. This is awesome. I want to be just like you. Buffy, look, SCOTUS is here. Come take a pic. Who cares? This is the Supreme Court. It's not the prom. But she also doubles down on that, even suggesting now that because SCOTUS is so uncool, so unhip, so unwith it, maybe people will just no longer follow their rulings, which I believe last time I checked was called, I don't know, anarchy.
And if you think that is too radical a thing to imagine them doing, I mean, this is the court that just overruled Roe versus Wade, right? A recent Gallup poll shows that the American people say their trust in the court has dropped 20 points just since 2020, just in the past 2 years. Another poll, similar poll from Marquette Law School, shows it's dropped 26 points in the past 2 years. If the perception of the court keeps dropping like that, you might think the court would start to get worried that Americans soon just won't respect the court enough to follow its rulings anymore, which of course would be a disaster for the country. That would literally be the end of the rule of law in a very fundamental way.
Yeah, so instead, why doesn't the court just make rulings we all like to keep us happy? So we all want to keep dating it. This is the Supreme Court we're talking about. This isn't Judge Wapner, where you look at his ratings and see how he's doing with women 25-54 in daytime television. This is the Supreme Court. You follow their rulings, whether you like it or not, just like we all followed Roe v. Wade for the last 30 years. Because, I mean, I didn't like it, but people still followed it. It was the law of the land. It's how it's supposed to work. And I don't think the Supreme Court needs to worry too much about its image because they are the highest court in the land. They're supposed to be the least dangerous branch. Also, supposed to be the branch that, you know, they're there for life for a reason, so that even if they're unpopular, they still get to keep their job. It's like sometimes I have to explain everything by going back to high school because those were my glory days. And yes, I peaked in high school. What are you going to say about it? I'll tell you this, though. Emmons Roofing and Siding, they know it's a crazy time right now. Prices for everything have skyrocketed. Interest rates are rising. Inflation is out of hand. So what can you do if you need a major repair, like a new roof, windows, or siding? You can't wait. Winter's right around the corner. Well, thanks to my friends, Stephanie and Matt and the team at Emmons Roofing and Siding, you don't have to wait. Right now, Emmons is offering all of my listeners an inflation relief discount of 10% off roofing, siding, and Anderson window replacement. And because Stephanie and Matt know the times are tough, they are continuing to offer each and every one of my listeners 12 months same as cash financing. That's 12 months to pay to give yourself the peace of mind you need. So if you're in the market for a new roof, and let's face it, winter is coming, you can't put this off. Roof repairs, siding, or Anderson windows, give Emmons a call today for a free estimate at 856-885-6677. Use the company I trust, EmmonsRoofing.com, EMMONS, and take advantage of their inflation relief discount and 12-month financing. Matt and Stephanie are great friends of mine, and you're going to love the service. You're going to love the way that they clean up when they're done. They give you a free estimate, and the job stays on time and on budget. So use them today. All right. EmmonsRoofing.com, the company I use. 10% off and also 12 months same as cash to pay for it with EmmonsRoofing.com.
The Zioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
All right. Turning our attention now to the state of New Jersey and King Philip the Unaccountable. Welcome back here on our 6 o'clock hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. My friend Alexandra Wilkes is the communications director for the New Jersey Republican Party and, of course, a PHT alum. And she joins me now. Alex, how are you?
Rich, I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm well rested. I feel good. You know, Bridget actually said to me today, she goes, you have been more present the last 3 days than you have been in the last 3.5 years.
Well, as a fellow night owl and not a morning person, I couldn't be happier for you.
Before I get into Murphy, the governor, I got to just ask you a quick question. I've been asking this question on the show all day today. Little parent dilemma I have. I know you've got kids, obviously, as well. When you get invited to a birthday party, do you drop the kids off the party or do you have to stay for the party? What's the answer?
I think it depends on the age. Mine is at the terrible but loving two right now, and I would not leave her alone with anybody. So.
See, that's the opposite. My two-year-old, Reagan, I would leave her alone in a heartbeat. Like, here you go. We'll pick her up in a couple hours. And I would peel out of the parking lot before they could even be like a cartoon character, just the dust in the background. No, I get it. 2 years old, a little young. What about my eight-year-old son, my six-year-old daughter?
I would say yes to the eight-year-old son. I would imagine he's maybe getting to the age where he's like, okay, mom and dad, we'll see you later.
Yeah.
The six-year-old, I guess, are there, you know, beverages for the parents? I mean, that's what we do at our, at, you know, my parties personally at our house here.
I mean, yeah, obviously. If there were beverages, we wouldn't be having this conversation, Alex.
just goodie bags. Okay.
Yeah, goodie bags. And I think they're going to be bouncing. The kids will be bouncing.
Oh, you can't. You have to have the bounce house. That's just so critical.
So King Philip the Unaccountable, Governor Murphy, he owned a soccer team. I think he still technically owns it, doesn't he?
He does, with his wife.
And it's under investigation again. I got my NJGOP email alert. You do a great job sending those out, along with your token thoughts every morning I subscribe to. And so Murphy's soccer team has gotten investigated before, and it's being investigated again. Turns out this guy runs a sweatshop. He is the worst employer in the world, and that's no exaggeration.
Rich, this is just absolutely incredible. I can't for the life of me understand how, first of all, in the very least, you could be a human being and treat other human beings like this. But we know from, you know, his days of stuffing seniors and veterans into nursing homes during COVID and causing fatalities there that he doesn't really, you know, have any qualms about that. So I'll leave that one aside for a second. But as someone who is potentially exploring a run for the White House, to have this kind of liability on you when you know you have other governors out there like Gavin Newsom, other people who are looking to take you on because people are saying that Joe Biden's not, you know, not going to be in any shape to run. I can't for the life of me imagine. I've heard this from other reporters in the Garden State and also just, you know, different political types. The absolute arrogance and lunacy in keeping the soccer team as a part of your portfolio. It's like some kind of trophy for him, except he has nothing to write home about because, as you mentioned, a new investigation found, and I say new because there have been others, but a new investigation found that there were, I mean, systemic issues with emotional abuse, sexual misconduct, terrible living conditions. I just, you know, it's just absolutely deplorable the way that this man treats people in his care.
And it's also, too, the kind of thing where if Murphy is the owner of the team and he's not aware of what's happening, how the hell is the guy able to be governor and president of the United States? I mean, God forbid. But if you're the owner and this stuff's happening, as he comes out, he says he's appalled at the allegations. He can't believe what he's hearing. He's just so shocked by all this. How can you possibly then be an executive if you don't even know what's going on with the soccer team you own, let alone a state of 9 million people and a country of 360 million, Alex Wilkes?
Well, that's a great point, Rich, because it's either one of two options. It's one that he doesn't know what's going on. And like you said, he just has this huge entity that's a part of his, you know, his family and financial portfolio. I mean, an actual soccer team where, you know, I think that you talk to owners of any sports franchise, these are people who are usually deeply involved with what's going on. Or the second option here is that he did know about it, and now he's just lying to us about what was actually going on there. And look, like I think that the arrogance from keeping this team around to, you know, to his ability to just get up there and say, I had no idea, and I think it's deplorable. It speaks to the arrogance that gets formed when you have a legacy media in New Jersey that challenges him on nothing, to the point where, you know, he can kill thousands of seniors and veterans in nursing homes that are state-run during the COVID pandemic, and he gets to name a building after Judy Persichilli, basically his co-conspirator in that effort. So it's just, you know, I think it does speak to where he feels most comfortable, which is the Garden State. But, you know, like I said, he wants to run for president in 2024. You can bet that these little hiccups along the way, they're going to get exploited by much bigger people, much more powerful people in the national media.
And I'm so glad you mentioned the Veterans Home, Alex, because that scandal needs to really be investigated. There was a payoff to the families, which should not in any way, shape, or form be the end of this. I mean, these are our veterans. These are the people that we owe the most to. And the allegations of what was happening in those nursing homes under Murphy's leadership, I mean, people that were, you know, nurses that were around COVID patients, nurses who were positive being around COVID patients and not wearing masks because they were afraid to scare the residents, not getting the PPEs that they needed from the state telling them to keep all these sick residents together. I mean, this is our most vulnerable population. And it wasn't even like we're just talking about the early days of the pandemic. This went on for months, leading to so many people dying unnecessarily. And again, to your point, the legacy media in New Jersey, the corporate media interests who all love this guy, give him a pass on it. Nobody except for people like yourself and the NJGOP talk about it, Alex.
Yeah, I mean, this is someone who has been promising to release a post-mortem, gruesome pun, not intended there, on COVID for weeks now. You know, he kind of gets a straight question about it here and there every couple of weeks. But I mean, gosh, like, could you imagine, we all remember what it was like to watch the press corps during Governor Christie's tenure, or, you know, basically any other Republican. I look what they're doing to Ron DeSantis and the storm response down there. If any Republican had failed to release a thorough accounting of what had gone on during a major disaster, like what happened in the state-run nursing facilities during COVID, I mean, the press would be up in arms. There'd be a countdown clock. We all know how this would go. But, you know, and Murphy has just never been held accountable for it. And he's never, particularly speaking of Ron DeSantis, when you hold him up against governors like Ron DeSantis, who had a similarly, you know, aging population, a delicate situation with the nursing homes, and you look at the fatalities there versus what happened in New Jersey, he did it differently and had a better outcome. And we did it Phil Murphy's way and had a horrible outcome. And no one has really been made to hold account to that. But I think that it's part of a larger pattern with Phil Murphy, which is really disturbing, is that vulnerable people in his care tend to end up not doing so well. If you were a woman who worked on the Murphy for governor campaign, there were systemic reports of sexual abuse, sexual harassment. And remember, for all of those incidents, Murphy said, I had no idea about those. I wasn't even aware, even though there were emails that proved that to the contrary. You look at the Edna Mann correctional facility, the female correctional facility, where there have been disgusting, the most heartbreaking stories of abuse that are now under federal investigation. Again, that was another facility under his care. He had no idea that it was going on. He's going to appoint, you know, a consultant, somebody to look after it and have, you know, no answers a year later. It's still open. And now you look at the soccer team. And again, it's just vulnerable people in his care. If you were a veteran in a state-run nursing home, if you're a woman who works for one of his campaigns, if you're a prisoner at the Edna Mann facility, or you're now, you know, a player on the soccer team, Phil Murphy just doesn't give a damn about you, despite whatever progressive credentials he's trying to tout these days.
Alex, as always, my friend, well said. Where can we follow you on Twitter?
You can follow me at Alexandra Wilkes, but you can follow the New Jersey Republican Party at NJGOP.
I'll have you back on closer to the election so we can break that down as well. Always a pleasure, my friend, and thank you for your parenting advice. We will talk soon.
Congratulations.
All right. Thanks, Alex. And let me tell you about my buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. My buddy, my friend. Yes, he is my dentist. People ask him all the time, Mike, has Rich really come in here? Yes, I come in there. My kids go there. My wife goes there. And yes, Mama's the only first discovered Dr. Mike Veneria. I got to do a whole bit about her telling Patrick what it was like to have a crown pulled or something at some point. But he actually gives incredible care, pain-free root canal treatment. And of course, when it comes to those dental implants, there's no one better you're going to find. And I mean no one better. That's why for 9 consecutive years, Dr. Mike has been voted top dentist in New Jersey, because he is the man. So reach out to him today, VeneriaDental.com. It's V-A-N-A-R-I-A. He's my buddy. He's my friend. He is the master of dental implants, Dr. Mike Veneria. 2 offices to serve you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Cinnaminson's right over the bridge, and people travel to see him from all over. California, Pennsylvania, Texas, you can certainly make the trip. Don't go to these chain dental offices. Go to my guy, the man who does my smile, Dr. Mike Veneria. VeneriaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A. Call him today for your free consultation, VeneriaDental.com.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
Okay, it's that time of the show today. We turn to executive producer Matt DeSantis, and we do this.
Who won social media?
All right, who won Twitter? We're giving it to the greater Chris. He said, Rich and Matt, why did I always think Velma and Shaggy were a thing and were rolling around in the back of the mystery machine all that time? 8-year-old Chris wants to know.
That's excellent. Fantastic. I love it. I love it. Great. Well, I'm on my way to the Union League of Philadelphia right now, but before I get out of here, and we're back with you tomorrow morning, 3 to 7, don't forget, Kale and Company start your day tomorrow, 6 to 10 a.m. Let's do this. And this is brought to you by Garden State Earthworks. Don't let winter sneak up on you. It's coming. Water will freeze and thaw. These problems never take care of themselves. They only get worse. So call Garden State Earthworks. They move the water anywhere on your property. My buddy Lou Vargo, 856-848-4444, or GardenStateEarthworks.com. Look, what I said earlier in the show about Fauci and gain-of-function research and EcoHealth Alliance, this is really groundbreaking stuff here, and we need to hold these guys accountable. Fauci's NIH paid for the gain-of-function research through EcoHealth Alliance that led to the lab leak theory of COVID-19. The evidence is there. It's just screaming for an investigation, and we got to get to the bottom of it. Instead, on his way out the door, Asanto Fauci gives them more money. It's unconscionable. We have to make sure this never happens again, and we need to get to the bottom of how COVID-19 started. Thanks so much for listening to the show. We appreciate it. I'm on Twitter at Rich Zioli. The great one, Mark Levin, is up next. Thank you.
Rich Zioli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.